We're taking an extended journey through Hawaii today. Our guides are Hal Cannon and Teresa Jordan of the Open Road, who will be guided themselves by a Hawaiian native and old friend named Kindi Sproat. We rejoin Hal and Teresa as they arrive at Kindi's house, where he lives with his wife, Sherry.
There's a house at the end of the road where Kindi and Sherry live. Perched on a cliff, it overlooks the Palalu Valley. This is an extraordinary place by any reckoning, but Kindi's tie is more personal. He grew up here, as did his mother and grandmother, and a whole line of ancestors. It's late in the afternoon. Kindi's godson, Josh, has come here after school for a ukulele lesson. We sit on the deck on lawn chairs with a million-dollar view in back of us.
This is supposed to be C, right? Or B?
C. Whoever thought he was going to grow this big?
I used to be a little toothpick.
But Josh is now 14, tall with knowing green eyes and crazy jet black hair. Josh's mom is like family here, even though she's a transplanted New Yorker. Josh never had a real father, and Kindi has been there for him since he was born. Around here, all the kids call older friends uncle or auntie. Josh calls Uncle Kindi his treasure.
He's like the father figure in my life. He taught me how to ride horse and all kinds of Hawaiian stuff. All the foods that I think are weird, he teaches me to eat them, and they're really good, too. One time he gave me cow heart stew. It's pretty neat. Yeah, he's just been there and supported me a lot.
Kindi uses the term sticky brain to describe the kind of person who remembers all the details. Even though Josh doesn't have an ounce of Hawaiian blood in him, Kindi has found a willing sticky brain to pass on a world of lore and history. Kindi grew up with a traditional respect for his elders and the knowledge they could impart. Now in his late 60s, he's an elder himself, passing on knowledge in the traditional way, by demonstration. But with all there is to learn, there's still plenty of room for play. Josh offers us a showstopper, Jazzy G.
That's practically the only song I can play behind my head.
You can play that one behind your head?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
After a few tunes, we start talking about all sorts of things Hawaiian. I'm curious about the island word aloha. It's emblazoned on everything from beach bags to jumbo jets.
It's a real powerful word, even though they use it a lot. The direct translation is, may you have everlasting breath. What? And that's why when they came up and said aloha, they did their honi, which is nose-to-nose thing, so they could breathe in each other's breaths.
So when you came to someone, you put your nose against them?
Kind of like a Hawaiian kiss.
Exchange of breath.
Wow. So you don't take aloha very lightly.
No. Aloha is a very serious word. And if you don't mean it, don't say it. See, alo is of deity, like a call, a forward call to deity, alo. But ha is the breath of life. The breath of life starts way down in, it comes out.
Actually, the translation of Hawaii is Ha-Vai-I, the breath of life and the water of life of I. That's the great creator to the Hawaiians.
Josh catches Kindi smiling at him proudly. But it's not just Kindi who's proud. Josh finds the attention embarrassing, as any 14-year-old would, yet the respect is reciprocal.
Yeah, when we have Hawaiian studies, I'm usually like the top student and stuff, because right here, information source.
The sun has set and there's kind of a silence before the night falls. Kindi sniffs the air and sighs with pleasure. He asks quietly if Josh wants to join him in a song about the beauty of this part of the island called Kohala.
Okay.
Though we've only been here a brief time, we feel the aloha spirit. Kindi and Josh have planned a hike in the morning and they ask if we want to go along. Somehow I'm starting to sense that Josh is not the only student here. Kindi has invited us into his world with an open heart. I just hope I can hold this moment with what's left of my sticky brain.
It's morning, bright and clear, and we've picked up a trail that follows the high ridge above the Pololu Valley.
I remember carrying you all the way. I put you up on my shoulder and I carried you all the way.
See, you can see the waterfall a little. Oh yeah, right there.
We're penetrating deeper into the forest. This narrow path cuts into the sheer side of the mountain, and we look down hundreds of feet to the tops of trees in the valley below. Kindy grew up in this forest. In fact, he was 5 years old before his parents brought him out of the woods for the first time and he saw his first car. Kindy?
Yeah?
What is this bird we're hearing?
That's a cardinal. Growing up, you know, I knew every sound. And that's knowledge. That's real knowledge. When I heard a bird sing, I knew what he looked like. I knew the bird by his voice. Like the Hawaiians say, pākawā hana kalima. Keep them. Ears and your eyes open and your mouth shut, you learn a lot.
Every few feet, Kindy stops to show us something. He peels a long strip of bark off one tree, gives me one end, and challenges me to a tug-of-war. It turns out to be an incredibly strong natural strapping material for canoe building. He picks two different kinds of guava for us to taste. He shows us medicinal leaves and berries all the time progressing along the trail.
Thimble berries.
Okay, who wants?
It's almost with shock that we bump into a line of tourists with cameras dangling around their necks. Leading them on their nature walk is a handsome young Hawaiian wearing neatly pressed Bermuda shorts and a Four Seasons golf shirt.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, how's the trail?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
We saw a rare butterfly.
Rare butterfly. Spiders. Saw spiders.
You can go under a waterfall if you're brave enough.
Really?
We're glad we had to get up early today to do this, so.
But we are missing golf.
Kindy seems anxious to show us something up the trail.
You think we can climb up here?
We scramble up the hillside through thick brush to a lookout that reveals the entire valley and the wide Pacific beyond. It takes my breath away.
When I was in high school, a young guy, when I was suffering from this tangled mind syndrome, my mind is all tangled, I would run away from school and walk all the way up here. I'd sit down here all day and look at everything and count my blessings. By the time I went home in the afternoon, why, you're in such a good mood.
Kindy tells us about this place of his ancestors, and as he talks we begin to see this valley not as overgrown and uninhabited, but with villages and people, taro patches and gardens everywhere. Kindy's ancestors were canoe builders, navigators, and historians. On the wall of his great-grandmother's hut hung maps made of seashells and twine, charting tides, wind patterns, and the islands of Polynesia. Kindy explains that even without a written language, Hawaiians knew who they were and where they came from. Everyone could chant their genealogy. There were even those in his family who were chosen to remember the past. They actually put their lives on the line for the sake of history.
They selected them when they were like 5 years old. And they went to live with the kupuna, the old fellas. And they put that little guy in a dark room and they chanted these things to him over and over daily. And then he chanted back to them and they monitored him, making sure that the whole lineage was just right, you know. And when they did that and they found that one of the kids didn't work out.
He didn't have an acumen.
That's right. The child was put to death. That's how serious record-keeping was to the Hawaiians.
Like the lines that connected the islands on those ancient charts, the lines that connected families and villages in Hawaii were critical to every chance meeting along the forested trails.
There wasn't any strangers in Hawaii. Because if you met a guy, maybe for 10 minutes he was a stranger. But once you started to chant your genealogy, I'm the son of so-and-so, who's the son of so-and-so, back and forth, back and forth. You go back to a common progenitor, properly identified.
Then you're cousins.
That's right. Ohana ke'ia, they say. Ohana ke'ia means we're related here.
But with the coming of Europeans after Captain Cook's initial voyage to Hawaii, that critical connectedness was shattered forever. Strangers were called haoles, ha-ole, without the breath of life, without a common ancestor. Plenty of haoles have left their mark. Today, much of North Kahala, including almost all of the Pololu Valley, belongs to a Japanese investor. Before him, a big sugar plantation diverted the water that fed these valleys, and that made it impossible for the villages to survive. Kindi has watched old Hawaii disappear before his eyes from this perch on the mountainside. Amazingly, he's not bitter.
They can buy it, they can build it, they can desecrate it and everything, but what I have in my heart, they cannot damage that. It's there. It's
indelible.
Indelible. There forever.